there has still not been a single arrest for the perpetrators of the fire at Grenfell Tower that killed 72 people. But as survivors and bereaved, we are determined that we don't want people to be treated the same way that we are. So we campaign for changes to the law around people who live in about the way that people who live in social housing are treated. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating that almost 7 years after Grenfell, some of the recommendations that were made in the first phase of the public inquiry have still not been enacted by the government. And, you know, we're coming up now to the phase two and those recommendations. But there's a, you know, there's a mistrust of government in that if they can't implement phase one recommendations, what faith will we have that they'll be able to implement phase two recommendations?
Ed Daffarn, survivor who's portrayed in the play Grenfell in the words of survivors, and playwright Gillian Slovo, South African born. The play runs through Sunday, May 12th at St. Anne's Warehouse in Brooklyn, New York. It's performed by London's National Theatre. And this interesting fact, today is the 30th anniversary of the inauguration of South African President Nelson Mandela. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune into KBOO on Friday, May 10th from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. for the live broadcast of the Blues Carnival, Rhythm in Rio. Rhythm in Rio is a benefit show for healthcare for all Oregon, featuring Norman Sylvester and Bloco Alegria. Again, that's the Blues Carnival, Rhythm in Rio, broadcasting live from the Aladdin Theater from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. For more information, check out kboo.fm/Blues Carnival 2024.
The flowers are blooming, the birds are singing, and KBOO's spring membership drive is back. If you enjoy alternative radio that pushes the status quo, then support KBOO by becoming a member today. Donate online at bit.ly/KBOO or text KBOO to 44321 between now and May 25th and support Avant-Garde Airways.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM.
Good morning. You are listening to The Gap here on KBOO Portland. We are KBOO's most listened to radio show at 8 a.m. on Fridays when we are on, and no one can take that away from us. I'm Tammy, and with me is Althea Billing.
Hello and good morning. The first thing I did when my mic got turned on is ram my head into it, so I'm feeling good.
Is it working?
Yeah, I'm Yeah. Just give it a little. That's sort of how, you know, goats and rams stress test things.
They
bonk into it and they say, all right.
Mic check.
Yeah.
That's how you check the mic.
Yeah.
Duh.
Like you body check somebody, but yes, you're mic checking.
It's a nice G check.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Woke up after the sun. That was unusual. I actually got very scared. I'm like, oh my God, what time is it?
I had the same thing this morning because is it in your normal, like when we do the show, do you get up earlier than normal to get here? Because I do.
Yes, earlier than normal, yes.
Yeah, so it was like there's sun coming through the blinds.
And it was it was like the sun that's been out for, like, you know, you get the little morning, what do you call the morning?
Morning sun.
The morning sun. It has a name.
Oh.
Is it twilight? No, that's dusk. There it is.
The inverse of, well,
the morning dusk.
Morning dusk, sure.
It starts peeking through the windows and, you know, it's a little bit of sun
rays. Yeah,
it has
a certain character to it.
But this was full on, I'm up, sun's up, guns out, what's up?
Yeah.
Let's do it. And I said, oh, okay, it's only 6:30, we're good.
Yeah. Well, and then going into this weekend, it's on.
It
It's on.
I already seeing people. What am I hearing all day? People are doing the weed whacking.
Yeah, a lot of pollen creating that.
I've been feeling that. I think a lot of people. Have you been getting pollen?
I haven't done the weed whacking that you've done so far.
Yeah. All you need is to be around it. Even after, like, I left it. I did in the morning, left the rest of the day. Still sneezing.
Still sneezing.
It's still out there, this pollen. It's good. It's strong. It's strong pollen.
Yeah.
You know, I need a little, I just need to go start chomping at the air and just fight these allergies that way.
Get yeah, exactly. Don't let them beat you down, you know.
You got the local honey.
I'm sort of maybe saying that I've solved it. But I also don't want to say that too loudly in case the allergies hear me and they're like, you thought what? Sorry. So a little knock on wood there. We should say what kind of show this is.
Sure.
I can do it. This is The Gap on KBOO Community Radio, a talk radio program on Fridays at 8 a.m. We like to do a two-parter type of show. Sometimes we're doing interviews. Today we got a news roundup, a news roundhouse kick to the face, really. Thank you.
And kick to the mic.
Punctuation. Yeah, headbutting the mic with our news roundup. And then in the second half, we'll get into our community question when you can call in. Before we get to the news, we want to say thank you to everybody who has donated so far to our spring membership drive. We got alternative, postmodern, avant-garde radio on these here airwaves.
And what don't we have?
That's honestly so true.
It's very true.
People ask me about what goes on KBOO. I said, you know,
Pick a time.
Any kind of music you can think of, we probably have somebody DJing and talking about it, along with all the great public affairs. And of course, I'm partial to the news. If you would like to support, consider doing it. bit.ly/KBOO is the new link. You can also text KBOO to 44321. And of course, mail us a check. We love that.
And a card with your name. That'll be nice.
Yes.
You're not too much. You can even write your name. Well, don't write your name on the... If you send cash, can you send cash? I wanted to say you send cash.
I don't. Mail us cash right away. I don't know. I get some. Like, it's when it's my birthday, I get cash and a card.
And I constantly forget that checks exist.
Yeah.
But that
you have to go get them is the other thing. Sometimes you have to buy checks.
Mm.
Do you know about this?
You know, cashier's checks.
Oh, now that's a whole other can of worms.
Speaking of cans of worms and
okay,
checks.
Okay. Into the news.
Into the news we go. This week, Portland City Council they approved new camping restrictions again. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Commissioner Renee Gonzalez proposed a policy revision, which came after Ted Wheeler's original camping ban, which was stalled at the Multnomah County Circuit Courts. The new approved policy, which is in effect, apparently. As we are speaking, will, end quote, allow people experiencing homelessness to camp on public property if no shelter beds are available, which is often the case in Multnomah County. But it limits what people can do while camping. For instance, the policy prohibits people from using propane heaters, digging into the ground, starting a fire, selling bicycle or car parts, or blocking access to private property while camping. Those who violate could be fined up to $100 or sentenced up to 7 days in jail.
Yep.
Which is still less intense than what Renee Gonzalez proposed a couple of weeks ago.
No, he wanted to go hard.
Yeah, which was even going harder than what Ted Wheeler wanted before that.
Yeah, it is interesting when Wheeler becomes the voice of restraint. He says, dial it back. No, yeah, Gonzalez wanted to wanted to make the punishments a lot harsher.
It's like $600?
Yeah, $500 or $600 and 6 months in jail. And then he was also like, and another thing, we shouldn't even be able to make rules about homelessness. It should only be the mayor and the city administrator that gets to do that because... Lest anybody forget, we're getting a new form of government come next January. A job that perhaps one may have noticed that a certain Commissioner Gonzalez is campaigning for. But, you know, the people did not respond to that. The people being the 3-2 vote.
Right.
Maps, Rubio, and Wheeler were not on board with that. So weeks ago. Mingus Maps made up his mind. We love that.
And I did try to see the time, place, ordinance webpage for portland.gov is not working. Let me check. I checked it last night and it was
not working.
Yeah,
they were locking Tammy out. They didn't want to show her what the real story was.
Because I wanted to know exactly what the... Luckily, this OPB article gave a little bit more detail, but just wanted to see exactly how, in their words, you know about horses? When you get the words right out of their mouth.
Oh.
Just like that.
Yes,
but
of
I
course.
Have no clue. I guess all the questions still is around how are they going to...
Right.
Enforce this, and of course this also, and there is still still waiting for the Grants versus Johnson.
Grants pass v. Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah, the Supreme Court case.
Supreme Court case, which I don't know if it could influence this. I'm assuming that it can as in get much harsher.
Yeah.
But I think that they're still kind of waiting. There's still kind of like a waiting period on that with getting more intense with actions. I don't know. What you think?
Right. Well, because the old camping ban was harsher, to be clear. This is still harsh, by the way. Like, saying that you can't use a propane heater or starting a fire, that is going to make people... Like, and then that's something that you can get fined or arrested for. That's pretty intense. Granted, the weather is nice right now.
Right,
so
yeah.
I think that there's...
But you still... Food, you know?
Food, of course. Food,
which
of course.
We got to do. Like... We have to eat every day.
We do. We fundamentally do. So this is less intense than the other one that got blocked. And that one got blocked on grounds because of this state law that was codifying a Ninth Circuit Court case, called Martin v. Boise, which is sort of the backdrop for the Supreme Court case. So regardless of how the Supreme Court rules on the case, immediately in Oregon, nothing changes because we have this state law that says that are any ordinances, local level ordinances, or state level laws about homelessness have to be objectively reasonable. So that's like the question there. And part of that goes to, you know, you can't sweep people off of public property or you can't ban them from camping if you don't have a shelter for them to go to, which famously in Multnomah County, we do not. We have like a third of the total need that could be met by shelter beds. And then you get into the whole conversation of if those are even meeting people's needs.
Right. And then the constant audits that, you know, like joint offices for homeless services, just really not living up to what they could be living up to.
Yes.
That would very much help people not end up in jail because there are, yes, anyways.
Yeah. Because does that solve the problem or does it perpetuate it? Many people are asking these questions and they actually have answers. And the answers are that it does perpetuate the problem.
But there is the Street Roots article that you're talking about by
Jeremiah Hayden,
and it talking about Grants Pass versus Johnson, because it does, at least in the public sphere, it's there. Everyone's like, the courts are siding with Oregon. They're siding with the states. And you're saying that that's not necessarily what Jeremiah was seeing from Street Roots over there.
Yeah. Jeremiah actually went, first of all, to the Supreme Court, sat in the room, big curtains, you know, was talking about how theatrical it was, and that these oral arguments that happened last month, he was describing it, well, I mean, also from you describing it, but, you know, sort of like a philosophical exercise of...
Brain teasing. People's humanity. Unbelievable.
Yeah, because it's this question, part of the question is about case law, about what, you know, what things can governments make rules about? Can you make rules about statuses or conducts? And so there's case law that says that you can't punish someone for an involuntary status. That's cruel and unusual punishment, and that's not allowed. So the existing case law has to do with drug addiction. And so if you're addicted to narcotics, you can't go to jail for being addicted to narcotics, but you can be punished by a government for using drugs. And then, but then they're trying to map that onto like sleeping in public or using a blanket when it's cold. And the article, streetroots.org, or also in their paper this week, gives a lot of interesting poll quotes from all of the different justices and the things that they kind of pointed out in all of this. But I mean, when the case happened, like, all of these articles cropped up immediately of, like, Supreme Court's definitely going to overturn, you know, they're definitely going to undo all of this stuff. And, you know, from his judgment, from, like, talking to him, that maybe that's a little too harsh and that there are a few different ways that the Supreme Court could rule. And just because it's a conservative court, a 6-3 majority, doesn't necessarily mean that that's what they're going to do. Because there's even a part where, you know, the Chief Justice sort of asks, like, are we even the people who are supposed to be making this call? Or is this, like, a policy decision, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ugh. This is... They are the... What we were talking about yesterday is how these questions are... Very, like, not in a romance, when you, like, reanimate someone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's reanimate, like, Aristotle or so. I don't know, like, some of these philosophers, because it's, like, you're getting, I feel, part of their whole point of being judges is getting lost in the weeds so that they can make a full decision that is both, you know,
yeah,
constitutional, but also, you know, preserves the rights of humanity and personal liberties and all of this, you know, America and all of that. But also, like, it's like those brain exercises in college that they're like, here's a scenario, or like model UN. They're like, here's worst case scenario, figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to do as an exercise, and it does bring people together, and it does get interesting ideas out there. But it's great as model UN. Like, I cannot imagine having that type of responsibility on my, like, as a judge to have these kind of conversations that are... that actually have such realistic impact on people that are already suffering, you know, tremendously. So
mm-hmm.
it just, I don't know. Now, these are, I don't know, like, get some clergy or something. I don't know. Like, because if they feel like they're not the ones to, I don't know. But yeah, it is also interesting to see it kind of, see someone say that it should fall onto a policy, like a state by, a case by case policy,
right,
a state by state policy,
yeah,
you know, whatever, intervention, which... it's interesting. It's interesting, but it would be great if it was just, I don't know, if it could just be not have real life implications because of, it's just sad that, I don't know, the whole thing is just very sad because now they're, you know, getting down to the weeds of drugs and its impact and people's needing drugs and then comparing it to needing a blanket because you're cold.
Or because everybody has to sleep.
Oh my God.
Can I read you this is a quote from the Street Roots article. Justice Neil Gorsuch extended the question to ask whether other biological necessities, like sleeping, like urination or defecation, could be considered status or conduct. Chief Justice John Roberts went so far as to ask if being a bank robber is considered a status, while Justices Samuel Alito and Gorsuch tested whether a person could steal food if they were hungry without being punished. Which I'm pretty sure there's like a zillion parables about.
Right.
That,
this is like straight up, like, this is what clergy, right? It sounds like a conversations of like, these hypotheticals. There's another one here from Ketanji Brown Jackson. She was talking about making the difference between the conduct of drug use as a consequence of the status of having addiction and the conduct of using a blanket for the universal status of needing to sleep. She said drug use is punishable because it's not a universal need, despite some people having an addiction to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
However, some people cannot be held criminally liable for universally necessary acts that are in and of themselves not criminal, like using a blanket to sleep.
Yeah.
Whew, that's, wow. That brain is working overtime. They're like,
Whoa.
All up in here.
Can I mention one other quote?
Oh, please, go ahead.
Justice Sonia Sotomayor asked the Grants Pass Council if the city enforced the ordinance against the general public or exclusively against people who have no other place to go. Quote, if a stargazer wants to take a blanket or a sleeping bag out at night to watch the stars and falls asleep, you don't arrest them, Sotomayor said. You don't arrest babies who have blankets on them. You don't arrest people who are sleeping on the beach. And then the council says the laws applies to everyone, and Sotomayor says, yeah, that's what you want to say.
Damn.
Which, like, okay. That's how I would be. I'm like, yeah, right. You can't say yeah, right in the Supreme Court, but you could say, yeah, that's what you want to say.
That's classy. Yeah, that's a really good point. And you see, you know, when it's nice outside, let's say you want to, you know, it's a nice day, and you're going to Laurelhurst, and you're doing some, I don't know what people do, trapezing. I don't know what people do in these towns. And then they probably are.
If they're not already, you gave them the idea.
They pass out, or, you know, the edibles kick in and they pass out, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just, like, enjoying the sun, passing out a little bit. And
illegal because you're on a blanket.
You know? It's...
just trying to avoid the allergens, by the way.
And then they'll say, well, the law applies to everyone. Well, that's what you want to say. Or is that what,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
what you want to say. But we... know that the likelihood of that person getting arrested is slim to none.
Yeah.
Versus someone who is, you know, I'm putting air quotes, visibly or just looks poor.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
You're poor. What are you doing? What business do you have being here and being poor and looking the way that you do?
How dare you exist in public?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And but do we have any idea when they're gonna start? When they're gonna make a ruling on this? Or?
The rulings usually come down in June.
Okay.
And you know, despite it's not a done deal. However, they could rule narrowly. They could rule that they don't get to rule about it. They could overrule all precedent if they wanted to. That seems pretty unlikely. So there's a lot of ways that it can go.
Mm.
And then it's a matter of, but even then in Oregon, because you hear all of these like elected officials being like, we need the Supreme Court case. We need to do this. We need to do that. Nothing changes in Oregon until, I mean, not nothing changes. There's obviously this camping ban going into effect, but it wouldn't get like majorly more restrictive until state law would be changed.
Mm.
Because can I tell you something? Not to just go into the whole Roe v. Wade thing, but it's not just relying on a court precedent to tell you what to do. They're like, all right, cool. Court precedent that's been standing for a while made it into state law. Let's work off that, guys. Versus Roe v. Wade, where they're like, court precedent that could never be touched. Certainly not just by 9 people who feel like it.
That's what you want to think.
That's what you want to think. Well, yeah, right. Sotomayor says.
There is, but wouldn't that be kind of opening the doors for different states to change up their laws?
Definitely in other states.
Laboratory of democracy. As we've seen with Roe v. Wade, like, yeah, we've seen exactly how the floodgates have opened.
Yes, yeah, no, it would change things. But I mean, in his article, Jeremiah also discusses the amicus briefs that a bunch of both, like, you know, Democratic and Republican leaning cities have filed, saying like, please give us the tools back, please let us make these people criminals, please, please, please. And, you know, even if the court rules that they can have those tools of making it making it impossible, it doesn't solve the heart of the problem, which is housing.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder if this could somehow put it in like a very, you know, giving and in a very nice way, if light a fire under someone to get their stuff together and do what you need to do so that the auditor doesn't have to come to your house every 2 months and say, hey, wake up, what's going on?
Where are the numbers?
So maybe it'll be, you know, I hope so. I really do. We can't, it worries me that the shelters are basically being left to urban alchemy to basically, like, make them take care of them, deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's, we have, there's a lot of other places and people and orgs that could use the support from the offices that are holding up the money.
Yeah.
Is basically what I'm saying in the nicest way.
No, that's
very diplomatic this morning.
Very diplomatic. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I think we've talked about this a lot on the show, obviously, about, you know, homelessness and are we solving the problem? Are we making steps to solve the problem? Or are we pushing the problem around until everybody gets mad enough? It's like, yeah, put people in jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's what it really feels like.
And that, you know, that there are perhaps interests out there who would benefit from a broad feeling that government cannot solve problems, you know, or that like the people's democracy can't look at problems and be able to come up with solutions to make life better for people. Because that's kind of the point of what government's supposed to do. Anyway.
There was a part, just going back to, like, real quickly, going back to what we were talking about earlier about the camping ban. I'm trying to see if it's in the OPB article. Just exactly what you're saying about, like, the strong arm. The last article about the changing in camping regulations and public property, here's a quote from Renee Gonzalez. These code changes fail to respond in the strong manner that Portlanders are asking for. However, in discussions with new law enforcement, they want something on the books, even if it's flawed. Exactly what you said. That's coming from Renee Gonzalez.
I told him to say that. No,
I don't. I think Portlanders want a response in a strong manner, as in do something that can actually stay.
Right.
You know, I don't think that I think he just doesn't I don't know what he thinks, but I think that if from what the way that he said it, it made it seem like Portlanders want all these people locked up. When I that's not the impression I'm getting. I think Portlanders want the government to get their stuff together so that the right resources can be allocated to the right places and people can get support. That I've never heard people say lock up homeless people in Portland.
I mean, certain people say that, but it is
Renee Gonzalez says it.
Gonzalez says it. Certain people on Twitter don't go too deep into the replies, otherwise you'll get sad like I do. But I mean, I think it is identifying. Ultimately, people want a solution.
Yeah, and people vote that way, and that's another thing. People are voting that they want things to help.
Yeah,
people aren't voting for lock people up.
Right.
You know, but it just there's the mishandling. There's just something that's just not working, and it's not working. I'll say it, but it's not the onus isn't on. The onus isn't on the people that are dealing with housing insecurity.
Yeah.
The onus is on
all of these government officials.
And there's a lot of money in there that's just being held up.
Yeah.
You know, Rose Evan needs their money, you know. Mm. Sisters needs their funds.
Quibbling
don't
over
get
context.
Me started.
There's been a lot of time on this.
Because the money is there.
Because the money is there.
Every month, the auditor tells us, what's up? Where are all these millions of dollars? What's up?
Yeah.
So, speaking of...
The money.
Speaking of the money.
Get into it, please.
Oh, my God. Last week, Mayor Ted Wheeler gives us a sneak preview into the budget. He said, budget 2024-2025, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Sends it out. We said, oh, okay, Ted. This
pulls back a lapel and gives you a little peek.
A little peek. Yeah, doing a little one of these.
Yeah, instead of watches. It's like, here's what I'm going to spend the money on.
I said, okay, that's looking pretty good. That's not that bad. A little here, a little there, a little bit everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, what happened? City budget director resigns unexpectedly.
No severance, guys.
Althea wanted to make sure.
No severance.
There's no severance.
And look, at this point in time, do we know what happened? No.
No, they won't say, but we do know that I'm thinking he retired.
But retirement, so then if he retired, would he not get... I mean, again, we're in escrow. Oh, yeah, we don't know how this stuff works.
Something about a 401k...
Something like that. Pension fund, I would assume. But resigning unexpectedly versus planning to retire is different. It's also in a weird part of the budget phase to be like, I'm out, you know? But also, if it was a health issue...
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the city would say that. It's like, oh, unexpectedly.
Maybe he's like superstitious and didn't want to like put his business. I wouldn't want to put my business out there. I get him.
Right. But then now there's all this speculation of like, oh, what's so wrong with the budget that the guy that's been doing it for 30 years doesn't want any part of it?
It makes you lose a little bit. It makes you wonder about the budget. Yeah.
And look, it just strikes the bell that we have talked about before, like when we first heard that Sam Adams was resigning from the mayor's office, and he's like, you know, I'm just going to go spend time at the coast for my health, and it's just going to be so good. And we're like, okay, right, cool, see you later. Mm. And then it comes out that he was verbally abusing female city employees. Mm. So, allegedly. So I don't know, just not that we don't know anything yet, but he didn't get severance. I feel like that's a smoking gun, but what do I know?
Well, as in,
I'm an escrow.
So you think he quit and didn't get fired?
Well, even if you get fired, I think you get severance. Or I guess if he...
No, I thought you only get severance if you get fired, I thought.
Oh, so if you quit, you don't? Well, I don't know.
If I know you get your holidays, your holiday money.
Just putting it out there for the people.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I really wonder. But it does in the article mention he was 72. And I said, listen, me at 72, I'm not. Bye.
He might have seen how good the weather was going to be this weekend.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to work on the budget anymore.
I'm not working on this budget. Look at it.
We got it through the end zone.
No cicadas, no nothing. Let's live our lives. Speaking of money.
Money, taxes.
Oh, here, we're going to the election part is coming up. Local gas tax on the ballot coming up. A continuing measure will be proposed on the ballot this year. If passed, this measure, which started in like 2016, will continue to tax 10 cents per gallon on gas purchased in Portland. In Portland, and will be used on projects from the Portland Bureau of Transportation, PBOT, which is Althea's favorite department in all of America.
It's so strange how this has become my reputation.
And they do this every 4 years. Just, you've heard of Olympics, folks. Now, this is the gas tax.
Yeah.
So this is, my first reaction was, this is why they did get March Madness. They tricked us.
Oh, the
they
March pothole filling madness. I keep headbutting this thing. I'm so sorry.
And they're talking about how this money will be. And again, this since 2016, this has been every 4 years they put it up on the ballot.
Yeah.
It seems like it passes every year. And they specifically want to use this money for projects that are prioritized by PBOT, which... is funny because throughout this year, we've noted a couple of stories in relation to PBOT and how I don't think they know what their priorities are.
No.
They're
like
confused.
We're putting in a bike lane and then we're tearing out a sidewalk. Or we're sending people out to pull out barriers. Or I don't know.
They take out a bike lane, put in a bike lane.
Put in a bike lane.
Take out a bike. Millions of dollars apparently.
And it's so
hire me 50% off, I give you.
Wow.
I got to paint. What's
Markdown up? Markdown of the century.
Markdown. It's not even Black Friday.
I'll bring my own high-vis vest. How about that?
Boom. Boom.
I know what we're doing this weekend.
And then I'm thinking with my mind, they just did March Madness, which wasn't even all of March Madness. It was just 2 weeks in March to the biggest potholes in towns and filled them out. And then we were also mentioning in that show how it's like, it's like hundreds of dollars cheaper to just maintain these potholes as opposed to just fixing them once they get too bad.
Yeah.
And then we have the debacle with the...
Did the one near you get fixed?
They just fixed it, yes.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, PBOT. There was a really dangerous one over where Tammy's at.
It was nice. Because, you know, they should slow down. And if people don't slow down, and it's like the opposite of a speed bump.
It's a speed divot where you might pop your tire and run into a parked car.
Because there are people who drive on top, like in the neighborhoods, and they just fly.
Oh,
over.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. They go quick.
Wait, are potholes better than speed bumps?
Let's spend a few million dollars commissioning a study, huh? I think it doesn't work because, you know, there's different heights of cars, you know. Oh. So like if it was too far down, your nose could get stuck.
But if you're too high up for speed humps, you can get stuck on the top if your car's too low.
That's true. Call in.
Boom. So on top of... See, they don't have these type of conversations. This
no,
is,
no. Speed... Do you feel like divot is a good word? Or is that too...
We'll workshop it. It'll come to us in the
middle. Speed hole? Surely not.
I like speed hole.
Surely not that.
So yes, while we've seen a lot of different types of ways that PBOT is really
doing some stuff.
So the tax is about them with their priorities. I don't know if they know what their priorities are. And then more recently, Althea, you shared this story about the Portland Chamber calls on PDOT to cancel, quote, wasteful Southwest 4th Avenue project.
Yep. Yeah, as there's a project to redo Southwest 4th with like bus priority and these like nice new curbs, and they're going to redo the whole thing, and there's going to be a bike lane. No.
That's what gets
you can't have it. And then as it's already starting and it's been like green, like it's part of a plan passed in 2018 that they've been working on all this time. They're contracting people and the beginning of in mid-April they're like sending people out to survey and getting plans ready. And then the Portland Business Alliance, now the Portland Metro Chamber, sends a letter saying like, we don't think you should be doing that. We don't like it and we think it's bad. How dare you put a bike lane down here? Nobody wants to bike downtown anymore. Plus, there's already a bike lane on NATO and on Broadway. Mm. So just go there.
What, you want them to be able to come here too?
So there's kind of like a... And, you know, to PBOT and Mingus Maps, PBOT commissioner's credit, didn't break formation. I was like, no, we're doing this. Because it's also worth noting that the bike infrastructure that they were kind of freaking out about is only like 5% of the total project cost. It's also like, oh, you know, street lights and crosswalks and places so that people don't go through there too fast and that people can cross the street more safely and, you know, more foot traffic downtown. From a business perspective, some have said it's a good thing.
Do you think what is their beef? I'm trying to figure out what their beef is with it.
The bike cabal, I think. The rats don't run this city, bikes do, okay?
Not liking bikes and living here is like not liking dog furs and living here. Yeah. You know, it's like kind of, you're going to have a hard time.
I'm really anti-pine and fir trees. It's like, oh, brother, that's tough stuff for you. I'm sorry. But the Downtown Neighborhood Association is for it. So who really speaks for the people?
We're going to find out. I'm trying to figure out what is their beef with it? Is it just the same thing about like the bike lane design?
Well, they don't like the bike lanes and they want the PBOT to spend the money, and it is like a $17 million mm-hmm. project. They want to spend it on other PBOT projects that are in the works.
Oh, okay. Well, it's
so like one of them that they mentioned was like the OMSI corridor. I could find mm-hmm. the other one. Give me a sec.
That's interesting that they're like, no, this isn't your
Broadway corridor and OMSI district redevelopment projects. And it's just, you know, it's already happening. It's already in motion. So it would be a waste of money to stop now to like, you know, pay whatever you have to pay to get out of all those contracts, to undo the work. And then there's all this work planning and all, like, tons of hours have been spent since 2018 to plan this out. And they're like, but what if we did it over here?
I like the little depiction they have of it. Also, maybe PBOT will let this, you know, run through. They'll let finish the project. And then they'll bring, like, trucks that you can't ID.
Unidentifiable. There we go.
Thank you. Get some trucks without any markings on it mm-hmm. and tear up the bike lanes like they did.
That'd be great.
Like they did with Broadway. That's what they did, right? Then they had, and then you had the bike, the Portland bike people, and they had to go there with their bicycles and protest these trucks.
Stand in the rain with their bike in the bike lane, and nobody's going to work. Okay, anyway.
It's like, this is just, if they do that, I'm going to keep my eye out on this. Mm. I don't even care. I mean, biking, it's great, whatever, but I'm not, you know, I'm not a connoisseur of biking. But if they tear this down.
Oh, brother.
If they tear,
I will
get a Twitter account and I will tweet about
it. Oh, Tammy's going to get on Twitter.
That's it.
Wow.
This will be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then to think on top of it, there's, you know, the tax, it's not even the tax, the 10 cent, it's just like the, get your stuff together. Everyone, get your stuff together. Make a list.
Yeah.
What happened to list? Make a list.
Well, I think it's also
prioritize.
Like, yeah, totally. Prioritize. Also, let's be forward thinking, you know, as opposed to like reactive.
There's a lot of reactions, yeah. It's a reaction to people's reactions. Like, there is an issue, people get together to try to solve it for better or worse, whatever. But anyways, more speaking of better or worse.
Yeah, before we go to the community question segment, Tammy and I are doing trading cards today with all of the all of the mailers that we've gotten.
I don't have any
nice card stock. We got Rudy Giuliani and Nathan Vasquez on a stoplight with Trump. You don't see that every day.
Oh, I didn't know Janelle was endorsed by Tina.
Yep. I do get a lot. Janelle has been the one who has sent me the most amount of stuff. I got two from the zoo. One from Vadim for city council. You know, just and they're full color.
The NRA's,
you
know, biggest cheerleader.
I got a couple for Mike Schmidt. I got one for the public school levy. You know, we got. This has not happened to me before.
You hear that? This is quality paper right here.
Yeah, that I'm in anywhere that anybody's sending about this kind of stuff. I feel like, you know, is this what it feels like to live in Michigan?
You know?
Bunch of free cardstock.
Damn, Janelle's going hard.
Janelle has a lot of different ones in circulation. And then I have the Mike Schmidt fentanyl one that you brought last week.
What is this? Oh my god.
We're worried about abortion. We're worried about the zoo.
Oh, don't
of course
forget the zoo, right? And the zoo messed and
you got one of the zoo ones, didn't you?
I did get one of the zoos.
We should mention
before we get into the community question, there has been some misprinted ballots that were sent out to 9,000 East County residents.
Primarily in Gresham. So if you're one of those people.
Oh, it didn't have the zoo band on it.
To clarify, didn't have the zoo bond on it. And boy, if the zoo doesn't want that money.
Some's happening. And then also replacement ballots sent out to dozens of additional voters because there was an error with the redistricting maps.
Yeah, there's like 150 people, it's 170, excuse me, in Southeast and Southwest who were redistricted wrong, I guess, or they were sent the wrong ballots. So, you know, everybody's kind of, I think you're just supposed to, you, well, first of all, only vote once with your, with the new ballot. And then you can, I think, destroy the original one or like give it back to the elections office.
Oh, they'll
take it. So anyway, it's coming up. We've got what? 11 days, 11 days. It's the 21st. Holy primary election is coming.
May 15th. It's coming.
I got my trading cards.
May 15th, May 8th, May 20th, and then May 21st.
Yep.
Wow, that's... Yeah, well, here it is. We're getting closer. I guess they're also the extended evening and Saturday hours available at both voter service locations.
Oh, yeah, there's the one on Morrison hours. And then there's one in Gresham. Mm. So if that's you, keep an eye out, I guess.
Keep an eye out for it. Yeah. And, yeah, and save your ads, and we can do trading, like Pokemon trading cards.
Yeah, we're going to do trading cards. Or you could send us a photo of the ones that you have. We'd love to see them.
Oh, yeah, that'll be
fun.
I
mean, mine are kind of limited to the district that I'm in. But
all the different... I really love Janelle's color palette over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a strong style guide of sort of like purple, pink, and blue.
I love it.
Yeah,
I think she got, nice. Damn it, she got... Whoever...
Dang it, her graphic designer did something good.
Her graphic designer got me.
Yeah. Well, are we ready for a little
break?
We're going to take a musical break. This is The Gap on KBOO Community Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Old pirates, yes, they rabbi. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery, none but ourselves.
And we are back here on The Gap on KBOO Portland. I'm Tammy. With me is Althea. And we're going to dive into our second part of the program. But before we do that, I would highly suggest that, you know, if you want to keep helping and supporting programs like this and KBOO in general, focusing on the postmodern, the avant-garde, the weird, the strange, the alternative, help us reach our goal for our before May 15th for our spring membership drive. You can go to bit.ly/KBOO or text KBOO to 44321.
Yahoo!
Woo!
And I think I actually have the web chat open. So, folks, it is time for their community question. Do you want to describe it? Because it was your idea. I keep hitting the thing. Go ahead.
Let's see. There it is. Recreate or relive a summer memory. Is that even possible? If you go ahead.
Recreating, reliving memory, 503-231-8187.
Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Reliving and recreating a memory. What is that even? Summer memory specifically.
Summer, yeah, we're thinking about summer.
The seasons of our lives are the seasons of our lives, but only become whole once we experience them or when we relive them with our loved ones.
Oh, wow.
As to say,
right.
You enjoy yourself a meal at this place that you go to every Wednesday after work.
Mm.
All of a sudden you go there with a friend, then with a partner, then with kids, then with your grandkids.
Mm.
At what point does it truly become, at what point does it morph from becoming just a place to a memory? 503-231-8187.
Wow.
And can you even recreate? Can you even relive something, or is it lost in the ether of time?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, is there a summer memory that you would like to relive? Or are there ways in which you recreate summer memories, let us know. 503-231-8187. You can message us on the website, kbu.fm. If depending on how the loading is going, it looks like it might be good right now, so we love that. You can also email us. Our email address is thegapradio@gmail.com. You can also message us on Instagram, thegapradio.
Summer loving happened so fast.
Had me a blast. I think we could also just sort of like speak through a bunch of like lyrics about time, because I wrote the Cher lyric, if I could turn back time, if I could find a way. So if you could also call in with your time memory, turning back time related lyrics.
Do you ever wish that you, like, you have a memory of something? Do you ever wish that there was someone that you know now that you didn't know then that could experience it with you?
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's one of those things when you meet new people and you become close with them in more recent times, but then there's like, oh, there's this whole life that I lived before I knew you, and I can only tell you what it was like from what I remember, versus, I mean, that's one of the benefits of, like, you know, having people that you grew up with. But then it's also like that they're in that context, and that informs how they see you now. Like, you know, when you meet people in the last couple of years, like, that's a different version of you than when you when you were young, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it seems that we have Mike on the line. Hi, Mike. Can you hear us? You're on air.
Hey, I can hear you, KBOO.
Yahoo!
Just the great great point and subject, with using the brain and the heart at the same time. Memories. I work with maintenance on homes and things, so I get to know the clients. And psychologists say that there's like four really traumatic things that happen in people's lives, typically, you know, loss of a child or divorce. One of those things on the list is moving. Okay, so that cup and saucer, it's getting wrapped in paper and put in the box. It's not a cup and saucer. It's three or four memories and emotions that go with it. So every time you pick up a saucer or a cup and put it in a box, it's this traumatic experience. It doesn't necessarily mean bad. It just means it's overwhelming. So yeah. Multiply that to every item that you own that has memories attached to it. And it's a beautiful thing, but it is, you got to respect it.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, KBOO.
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, Mike broke me with that one.
Yeah.
Oh, I can never go to a Goodwill and not look at a cup and saucer the same. I'll never look at it the same way again.
Yeah.
Someone's memories right there.
That's memories.
Yeah. It's
important.
It's, you know, dinners with friends. It's, you know, hot tea when you're sick. You know? Oh, man. Woo!
That's why I like to invite people over to my house and I just show them all my cool stuff. I'm like, here's what this is. And isn't this cool? And, you know, that's... But, okay, yes, sorry.
No, it's...
Reliving memory. Specifically summer, because it's going to be so, so nice.
And a lot of people move during summertime.
That's
August,
true.
Spring, or August, September.
Yeah. 503-231-8187. Let us know what you think. You can also message us on the website, kbu.fm. And we have Steve on the line with us. Hi, Steve. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. I know they talk about affordable housing and stuff a lot on KBOO. And I wish they would bring up, you know, after the Great Depression, the Glass-Steagall Act, which separated Wall Street banks from retail banks. And so people that already had their homes paid for, they had to have savings so that new people could afford a home, young people. And so... if you went to the bank back then, let's say in the 60s, and you tried to overpay for a house, outbid it, the bank would say, no, we can't loan that much money on the house. And it kept housing in range in other words, housing for a long time was about 1 year's worth of wages, and it was totally affordable. And then they did away with the Glass-Steagall Act, and the Wall Street banks, they called it GDP growth, so they encourage house flippers and everything to raise the price of housing, because then they get, you know, they go, this is GDP growth, and they get money from the the Federal Reserve, they print money, and so they just want the price to go up, up, and up.
Right.
And all this stuff with trying to get government to build affordable housing and stuff, nope, that's not the problem. The problem is housing's unaffordable for everybody, and we need to go back to the old system, and that's all I got to say.
Hmm. Well, thank you for calling. Appreciate that. Cursory Google search lays it at the feet of a certain President Bill Clinton.
That was good.
Thank you, Bill. If other folks want to call, we're talking about recreating, reliving summer memories. 503-231-8187.
I wouldn't mind. I missed the date. I mean, I wasn't alive back then, but when houses are like $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
We can do that.
But
we can
work on that. It's interesting to think about, you know, the memories associated with place, with moving, and then also like how maybe much more of that younger generations have to do because of,
oh, yeah,
you know, removing these sort of protections and stuff like that.
I mean, thinking of, you know, Social Security, that's, you know, I mean, I hope that we'll have it, but I, you know, in my mind, I'm not counting on us having that when we, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
We got another caller on the line. Claire, did I get that right?
Yep, Clara.
Clara, how are you?
Oh, good. My favorite memories of the summer is just getting bashed by waves at the beach. I just love going in the water, and you don't know if you're going to get smacked by a wave or if you are going to be able to maybe do a little body surfing.
Mm.
But sometimes there were waves that were terrifying, you know, like just, it's like, oh, no. And it's scarier than a roller coaster, which you have to pay for a roller coaster, but the waves at the beach will just give you a good time for free, and it's wonderful.
That's fabulous. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
You have a good rest of your day. If other folks want to call, 503-231-8187.
Summer memories. Recreating, reliving.
When you actually catch the wave, feels great.
Jump in it and you like jump like 10 feet up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. I feel like Poseidon.
Yeah.
Emerging from the depths.
Mm-hmm.
Are we also on the webpage?
We are on the webpage, kbu.fm. You can click on the chat with us button. Let us know if you what summer memory would you like to relive as we're going into these warmer weather days. I don't even know what to do with myself. I'm so excited.
Weed whack.
Tammy's going out weed whacking.
It's beyond my if it's like, it is insane what's going on back there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller on the air. Francis, you're on with us.
Hi. I have a couple. One of my fondest memories is Avalon Park on the Tualatin River in the summertime, swimming with my brothers.
Hmm.
And more dance, maybe 20 years later, summer of 1970, when Corbett Street was popping, and Corbett Avenue, and had some friends who lived right off of there down the street from Ross Island Grocery, and they would have jam sessions, you know, frequently, and live music, and that's where I met my husband.
Oh, wow.
Sitting on their porch one day, yeah. And just the 70s, early 70s, we thought we were doing something, you know. Changing the world. And everyone among my circle of friends was very, I guess you'd call them progressive.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, we just figured that was the normal way to be.
Mm.
It wasn't considered unique or anything. And it was a beautiful time, beautiful time.
Mm.
And I wish we could go back there.
Yeah. Well, Francis, thank you so much. We appreciate
you
calling. You have a good rest of your day. And enjoy the sun, of course.
Paint such a beautiful picture in my mind. Mm-hmm. I want to be there, too, hanging out with your friends.
We are talking about recreating, reliving summer memories as we go into a beautifully warm weekend. And it sounds like we have Steve on the line. Hi, Steve. You're on air.
Yeah, I think it was summer still kayaking the Upper Clackamas and then going to Bagby Hot Springs the same day.
Mm. What? That's a good itinerary.
Yeah. It was a goal to see if we could fit it all in, and it worked out very nice.
I love when that happens.
Oh, man.
Oh, that sounds so nice. I am hearing that the rivers are still pretty cold, but thank you so much for calling, Steve. I appreciate
it.
I love like a summer day that is, because you know, with so much sunlight, you can do so much.
That's true. That's what.
And at the end of the day, you're like, oh, I swam, I biked, we were running around at the park. You know, we ate good food, and at the end of the day, you're just so exhausted, but in like such a wonderful, sun-baked, warm kind of way.
Like when you were a kid and you were tired at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I love that feeling of being like tired and hungry after being in the water. You know.
That type of hunger is actually so good.
Because you're using your body. It's like you're a full body workout, you know?
Yeah.
And splish splashing. It's not easy. It's not easy cosplaying Poseidon, you
know? That's true. It takes it out of you. Well, and also like
flips.
Food tastes so good when you're that type of hungry.
Or camping hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Listen, this town, it has its problems. But once the sun hits...
Yeah.
And these rivers are you know, at a reasonable temperature. Mm-hmm. My goodness.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
And you feel it, and the energy picks up. And soon enough, I think next month is when they're going to start doing all the open to the public city-sponsored events.
The free summer events. So get excited for that. Although I will mention, St. John's Bazaar is this weekend, or tomorrow. That's free, you know.
Oh, St. John. I was like, was this in French? What does this say? Just St.
they're being silly, I think, because it's spelled bizarre, but it's bazaar, you know?
Good for them.
It's
they got
real
me.
Silly up there in St. John's. I don't know.
They got that nice bridge, you know?
That's right. Yeah. It gives them a lot. They're coasting, to be honest. Just kidding, St. John's. Just kidding.
There's all the KBOO events happening this summer, too. Music festivals, mm-hmm. the Apano remote.
We have an Apano event coming up with them. Also, tonight, Blues Carnival. Tune in, I think, at like 7 or 8.
Oh, on KBOO.
On KBOO,
the
yeah.
live stream.
The live business.
How exciting.
We have just a few moments left. Well, let me ask you, let's talk to each other, as we sometimes do on this show.
For the last few moments?
Yeah, reliving summer memories.
I can't think any of my own memories at the top of my head, but my grandma told me how in the summertime, her dad, she was born in 1922, so a long time ago, and they were in Ocean City, and her dad took her to Ocean City, and he gave her a peach, and she was eating a peach, and she said, and the sand, the salty air just made my lips so chapped, and I think of summertime, I think of, like, chapped lips and a peach, and that's, like,
that.
For some reason, I always try to, whenever I eat a peach, I think of it, and I try to, like, see if my, you know. So shout out to grandma, rest in peace. But that's every time of summertime. Like, that's a quintessential summer thing. It's like a little kid with their dad, lips chapped. They're all wet from, you know, like swimming around, and they're just like so happy, but lips are chapped. How about you?
Yeah. The one that came to mind was like when I was a kid, I did like summer swim league. So like we were getting
fancy.
Up really early and swimming laps.
Daybreak.
Like, I love to swim. I love to swim. It's my favorite thing. And there's also, indoors or outdoors, but, like, the smell of chlorine. Mm. And this is not, you know, like, a peak or ideal, I would say. But, like, the smell of chlorine gives me a visceral excitement.
Oh,
we're going to swim. But just, like, getting up so, so early, swimming a bunch as a kid, eating a bunch of mini blueberry bagels in the kitchen, like, taking a nap and then, like, going to ride bikes with my friends.
Aww.
That's what I think of.
It was like a handful of mini bagels?
They're like, I guess maybe
like
half
the mini
size.
Pizzas. Okay.
Yeah.
That's sweet. That's good. Now, good to know that's how you feel about chlorine.
Yeah.
Give you a little chlorine if you're ever sad. It'll get you.
Here's a little pick me up. No, here's the thing. Like, I know it doesn't smell good,
like,
but to me,
salts.
I'm like, ooh.
No, I'm not judging. I'm not going to yuck your ear off.
Thank you.
Just in a little jar whenever you're feeling sad, just take a little sniff.
I'm like, okay. Mm. That's swimming. That's having fun, you know?
Well, we're just about at the end of our time.
Yes, we are. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to The Gap. Consider supporting KBOO during our spring membership drive. bit.ly/KBOO is the link to donate. We really appreciate all the help that we get making community radio happen. Thank you for being here, Tammy, with me.
Thank you, Althea.
Thank you, Sherry, for board hopping. Thank you, everybody who called. We hope you enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, enjoy this heat.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Attic room, stillness of a tomb, or someone else's memory gathers in the gloom. While out on the quay, rough water slapped at me and roared as if to say, "Hey, wash it all away. This is where my king calls me home. My king calls me home. This is where my king calls me home."
You are tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio couldn't do it without you. Support KBOO by becoming a member during our spring membership drive, taking place now through May 25th. Your contribution goes towards postmodern, avant-garde,